Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, recording at our studio in the East County Wellness Center here in El Cajon. If you're hunkered down during the stormy weather this week, we'll tell you where you can get some free sandbags to protect your property, and we'll have some wet weather driving tips provided by our very own in-house fire chief. On our Capitol Report, hear about a case before the Supreme Court that will determine what rights pregnant women can have in the workplace. On our Crime Beat Report, learn about a teacher accused of molesting young students, a realtor sentenced for prostitution-related activities with young girls, and a group of teenagers arrested for beating a homeless man to death. Hear about a landmark project approved by our county supervisors to take the lead in seeking a cure for Alzheimer's right here in San Diego, along with help for patients, families, and caregivers. We'll tell you about two proposals in the legislature aimed at stopping the UC tuition hikes for California students. Plus, learn what San Diego State University officials have to say about allegations of sexual assaults on campus. Get tips about how to avoid dangerous toys on store shelves this holiday season, where you can recycle your holiday waste, and how to avoid shopping overcharges. Learn how you can help senior citizens who are alone this holiday season through the Public Guardian's Office, and find out how to nominate an El Cajon Citizen of the Year. Hear why General Motors is recalling over 300,000 vehicles. And learn about a powerful new telescope atop Mount Laguna. Here's some holiday reflections from a bygone era in Lemon Grove on our Sounds of History segment. And on Destination East County today, find out about the most fun festivals and events coming up, from Lakeside's Christmas on Main Street to a holiday wine trail in Ramona, and much, much more. So stay tuned for all of these stories and more on today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.
The County of San Diego is offering free sand and bags to people living in unincorporated areas to help protect homes, neighborhoods, and streets from flooding and soil erosion problems during this week's rains. San Diego County has been drier than usual due to the prolonged drought. Heavy rains can cause severe soil erosion, especially in areas not covered by lawns, trees, shrubs, or plants. Water runoff, and especially mud and debris flow, can damage properties, flood roadways, and clog storm drains. Free sandbags are available at many rural fire stations. Just bring your own shovel. The list of stations with sandbags in East County includes Alpine, Bonita, Boulevard, Dulzura, Julian, and Ramona. During and immediately after heavy rainfall, do not go near storm channels, creeks, or streams. Never cross a flooded roadway if you cannot see the pavement. Even a few inches of water running at the right velocity can sweep a car and even a truck and its occupants off the roadway and downstream. You don't want a swift water rescue as part of your travel plans. It's always a good idea to carry snow chains or cables if planning a trip to the mountains. Chain controls, road condition updates, and other safety advisories are posted on the San Diego County Public Works Facebook page and Twitter feed, and during severe weather events, the Public Works Emergency website is also activated with the latest information. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barana.
The California Highway Patrol is reporting 328 collisions during the storm so far. That's about 5 to 7 times higher than normal. We want you to all be careful out there. So next up, Ed Barana is going to give us some safe driving tips for the wet weather.
The roads are slippery from much-needed rain, and our own in-house fire chief, Sam DiGiovanna, has sent us some safety tips for you when driving in wet weather. Over time, engine oil and other substances build up on streets, and when rainwater gets added to the mix, a very slippery combination results. Always give yourself plenty of time to get to your destination. Be aware that you could get water in your brakes, which will cause them to lose their stopping power. Never rush when it's raining heavily. Accidents are more likely when weather conditions are poor. Even if it's only lightly sprinkling, your headlights will help you see the road better. Having your headlights on allows other drivers to see you as well. Allow extra following distance. Avoid braking suddenly to lessen the risk of locking up your brakes and going into a skid or spin. If you do find your car in a spin due to wet or icy conditions, turn your steering wheel into the direction of the skid. For instance, if your rear wheels are spinning to the left, turn your steering wheel to the left to stop the spinning. Staying away from standing water, like large puddles, is the best-case scenario, but if you approach a puddle on the roadway and must drive through it, be sure you slow down. If you don't, you risk hydroplaning and losing control of your car. Passing through deep water could spell trouble for your car's engine and brakes. Never drive through flowing water, though, since even a small amount of fast-moving water could be enough to pull your vehicle into the current. If you can stay off the road during and immediately after a storm, do so. There's no sense in risking an accident if you don't have to. Have your mechanic check your windshield wipers, brakes, and tires. Finally, stay off your cell phone so you'll be fully aware on the road, especially during these wet winter driving conditions. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
This is East County Magazine's Capital Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital. This is Miriam Raftery with a Capital Report. On December 3rd, the Supreme Court is expected to rule on the biggest test of the Federal Pregnancy Discrimination Act in a generation when it determines the outcome of the Young v. United Parcel Services case. Peggy Young helped sort and deliver mail for United Parcel Service. When she got pregnant, her midwife sent a note to her employer saying that she could not lift over 20 pounds during her pregnancy. One of the requirements for Young's job was that she be able to lift at least 70 pounds, so Young requested a light-duty assignment, something the company already provided to those with disabilities, such as diabetes or those with injuries. But UPS said no, noting that company policy only allowed light-duty assignments for those with workplace-related issues and other limited circumstances. Because UPS did not consider pregnancy to be a workplace-related injury, Young was not eligible to work at all until she could work without restriction, so the mother-to-be was forced to take unpaid leave. In a blog post at the National Women's Law Center, Young herself describes the ordeal. For the last 6.5 months of my pregnancy, by forcing me off the job, UPS made me go without my pay and my benefits, causing my family financial distress, she writes. My UPS health benefits were one of the main reasons I worked there. Because UPS would not let me work, I lost my health insurance. I had to use less desirable medical care 4 times as far from home. I also lost my right to disability benefits related to my pregnancy and childbirth. What started as a very happy pregnancy became one of the most stressful times of my life, Young concludes. She sued UPS for pregnancy discrimination and lost. She believes the courts failed to correctly apply the Pregnancy Discrimination Act, which says that employers must treat pregnant employees the same way they treat other employees with similar abilities or inability to work. UPS claims it was just sticking to company policy, not discriminating against pregnant women. Young would have been eligible for a light-duty assignment if she'd been injured at work. The primary and narrow issue in this case is whether the company's policy violated the Pregnancy Discrimination Act by excluding pregnant women not injured on the job from light-duty assignments. Interestingly, UPS has since changed its policy and now does offer light-duty assignments to pregnant employees, but it is sticking to its argument that it was lawful to deny Young a light-duty assignment at that time. Tom Spiegel, founder of the Spiegel Law Firm, who focuses on discrimination due to pregnancy and other family care issues, is also the author of the new book, You're Pregnant, You're Fired. He believes pregnant women are not going to like the court's decision. Spiegel says the Young versus UPS case is important for the average working pregnant woman, since the court will decide what protections the law provides. He predicts the court will favor UPS, given that Chief Justice Roberts' court has tended to line up in favor of business interests where employment matters are concerned. If the court does rule against Young, he says, pregnant women requiring a change at work to help them keep working during pregnancy will have to show that they are covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act. The attorney and author specializing in workplace pregnancy issues says the case draws attention to the ongoing problems faced by expectant mothers in the workplace. While there are laws in place to protect women from this kind of discrimination, such as the Federal Pregnancy Discrimination Act, he concludes, there are also loopholes, and too often, women are not protected.
This is Leon Thompson for East County Magazine. San Diego realtor Michael E. Lustig, 77 years old, has been sentenced to 10 years in federal prison for prostitution-related crimes. Lustig admitted that he paid for sex with a 13-year-old girl on several occasions after he was caught on surveillance video at an El Cajon motel. Lustig was arrested initially in 2012 during a sheriff's operation targeting Johns in Encinitas. Deputies seized his cell phone, which revealed he had contacted two young girls to engage in prostitution, one 11 years old, the other 13. Federal Bureau of Investigation members coordinated with the sheriff in the investigation. Investigators interviewed the girls, who confirmed that Lustig had paid them for sex on multiple occasions and that at least one of the girls had told him she was underage. U.S. Attorney Laura Duffy says Lustig victimized the most vulnerable population in our community, children, and has now been brought to justice. She adds, "We will do everything in our power to protect children from predators."
This is Miriam Raftery with a Crime Beat report for East County Magazine. A former Dehesa Elementary School teacher has been charged with molesting five young girls. The hearing for Robert Noel Anderson is set for December 30th, the Alpine Sun reports. The alleged crimes occurred between 2003 and 2006 when he was teaching fourth and sixth grade at the school. The case took years to reach court, in part because some of the young girls waited until they were older to state that Anderson had fondled them while they were in the classroom.
Two homeless men sustained blunt force injuries in a fight on a bike trail under State Route 52 in Santee on Saturday, and one has died. Deputies responded to a call at 5:19 p.m. Six teenagers have been arrested, including one juvenile, said Lieutenant John Marion. They have been charged with murder. Homicide investigators are looking into what prompted the assaults. The cause of death will be determined in an autopsy by the medical examiner. Anyone with information about this incident is asked to call the homicide detail at 858-974-2321 or after hours at 858-565-5200 or call Crime Stoppers at 888-580-8477. You can remain anonymous at all these lines. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Ed Barrena.
San Diego supervisors on Tuesday approved a regional plan to tackle Alzheimer's disease, which is the third leading cause of death in our region. The devastating disorder plunges its victims into a fog of lost memories, forgetfulness, and an eventual loss of the ability to remember even the most basic day-to-day details about their own lives. There is no cure for the disease, but a broad-reaching effort launched by the San Diego County Board of Supervisors aims to make our county the epicenter of progress in discovering a cure and improving the lives of the 60,000 county residents who currently suffer from the disease. The Alzheimer's Project was first proposed by Chairwoman Diane Jacob of East County in her 2014 State of the County Address. Supervisor Jacob says, "We are here today for all those with this disease and all those that care for them. No one should have to face this disease alone." But currently, 4 out of 5 Alzheimer's patients are cared for at home, and 85% of the care is provided by family members or unpaid caregivers, increasing the stress on families. The county's effort is uniting county and city of San Diego leaders, the county's Health and Human Services Agency, researchers at UC San Diego, Scripps Research Institute, Sanford Burnham Medical Research Institute and Salk Institute, Biocom, the San Diego County Medical Society, local law enforcement, the Alzheimer's Association, caregivers, physicians, and local philanthropist Darlene Shiley. The board approved this plan after hearing testimony on the components of the project. These include launching a multi-million-dollar fund drive called Part the Clouds to spur research, innovation, and drug discovery, developing the region's first clinical standards for the screening, diagnosis, and management of Alzheimer's and other dementia, boosting public awareness and involvement in clinical trials, increasing training for those who work with Alzheimer's patients, and expanding services and support for those with the disease and their caregivers, and finally, curbing incidents of wandering through the use of GPS, the county's Take Me Home registry, and other methods. For more information about the Alzheimer's Project, you can visit the Alzheimer's Association website at alz.org/San Diego. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
Senate Democrats this week announced a plan to prevent a tuition hike approved by University of California Regents from taking effect, at least for California students. However, out-of-state students' tuitions would increase by 17%. The plan follows an earlier proposal by Assembly Speaker Tony Atkins, a Democrat from San Diego. The two plans have similarities, but also differences in their approaches. Last week, UC's Board of Regents approved raising tuitions by 5% a year for 5 years. That's 25% total, over the objections of the governor and legislative leaders in both houses. Regents who voted for the increase blamed the state for not boosting funding enough for the UC system. The vote sparked protests at campuses across the state, including here at UC San Diego. Now, State Senate Leader Kevin De Leon, a Democrat from Los Angeles, would increase state funding for both the UC and California State University systems by $156 million during the next fiscal year by shifting funds out of a scholarship program for middle-class students. The plan would also create a financial incentive program for CSU students to obtain their degrees in 4 years. His plan also aims to increase enrollment at UC campuses by 5,000 students and at CSU schools by 10,500 students over the next year. UC President Janet Napolitano called that proposal a promising first step, adding, "State funding should be adequate to ensure that UC remains the best public university in the world and that tuition is as low and predictable as possible." Assembly Speaker Atkins introduced her proposal in mid-November. Her plan also called for no tuition hike for California students and an increase of $50 million in funding from the state's general fund, as well as additional money to help increase enrollment and reduce graduation times for students. Atkins' plan would also increase Cal grants to lessen the financial burden of higher education on lower-income families. And unlike the Senate plan, Atkins also wants to speed up implementation of the middle-class scholarship to cut fees for middle-income families by over 20% in the next year. She also wants to cap enrollment for out-of-state students and increase tuition for students from outside of California by $5,000, which she says is still below other prominent public schools. She adds, "The Great Recession has ended and funds have been restored to the UC, so the time has come to end the practice of backfilling state cuts with students that pay out-of-state tuition and push out California students," Speaker Atkins concludes. Her plan also calls for pension reforms for new employees, increased requirements for teaching time, and limiting pay raises for UC executives. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
A rubber duck, a shopping cart playset, and a tambourine are among the toys on store shelves that contain potential hazards, according to an annual report. Pam Clough with the U.S. Public Interest Research Group says they've released their Trouble in Toyland report for 29 years now, and as a result, more than 150 toys have either been recalled or taken off the shelves.
It is great to see that progress is being made, but it's evident that there are still dangerous toys on the shelves.
Among the 24 toys on the list, Clough says they uncovered four main hazards.
Toxic hazards in toys, choking hazards, magnetic toys, and excessively noisy toys.
Clough says the findings highlight the need for consumers to be proactive and do their research before buying, and also examine items that have already been purchased for possible dangers. Clough says the toxic chemicals found in toys can have adverse health impacts on a child's development and include lead, chromium, and phthalates.
We found toys that contained phthalates that are well over the legal limits. For example, a Dora backpack was 20% phthalate, which is ridiculous.
Clough says with the passage of the Consumer Product Safety Improvement Act, toy safety standards have improved in recent years. Among the improvements, she says, is a ban that goes into effect next year on small magnetic sets that pose a dangerous threat to children if swallowed.
The magnets have the power to bind through tissue, and so that can really disrupt the digestive system, and it actually can lead to severe injury that has been seen in pediatric emergency hospitals.
The Toy Industry Association claims PERG's past toy reports were based on improper testing methods that are not approved by the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission. For Public News Service, I'm Mary Sherman.
This is Miriam Raftery with an update on a story last week in which we reported that fraternities at San Diego State University had suspended social activities indefinitely. That's because of allegations of sexual harassment and multiple alleged sexual assaults on campus, including several alleged rapes at frat houses. Now, Greg Block, who is the Chief Communications Officer at San Diego State, has responded to our questions regarding those incidents and the response of campus authorities. Block confirms that 7 sexual assaults have been reported on campus since the start of the semester. But as for why no arrests have been made in any of those cases, it turns out that most involved acquaintances where the people involved had some sort of prior relationship. Alcohol was almost always involved, he says, and in nearly every case, the victim chose not to have police involvement or pursue charges. Asked about allegations that students who participated in a Take Back the Night march were pelted with eggs and had sex toys waved at them by frat members, Block says campus police didn't receive any calls or complaints about the alleged heckling during the Take Back the Night event. But he says Student Affairs is investigating the alleged incident and will take appropriate action if necessary, as this type of behavior is potentially a violation of the student organization rules and regulations and a student code of conduct issue. As for what steps the university is taking to reduce violence against women, Block says the university takes these issues incredibly seriously. He adds, "We have many programs in place already and are continually looking for new ways to educate our campus community about this issue." He provided a long list of programs and activities where training and education of the campus community about these issues is occurring. Those range from sexual assault and prevention workshops to one program called Frat Manners. There are also events to draw special attention to the issue, as well as resources ranging from counseling to a sexual assault task force. Block praised leaders of the fraternities for voluntarily suspending their activities and taking other steps to address this serious problem of sexual assaults and harassment claims. He states, "We must work as one community to create the substantive changes necessary to end sexual violence on our campus. The steps outlined last week by the Greek community are the beginning of what must be a sustained effort to change attitudes, culture, and actions." He concludes that the university is committed to working with and supporting the fraternities and sororities or Greek community on campus in those efforts.
There is a brand new $1.5 million telescope at the observatory atop Mount Laguna in East County. Astronomers from San Diego State University, which operates the observatory, will now be able to see farther into the universe than in the past. The new 50-inch telescope is named after the late Philip Claude, an amateur astronomer who donated more than half the cost of the new reflecting telescope, which uses curved mirrors to reflect light and form an image without a magnifying lens. That's about 50% more powerful than the older 40-inch telescope at the observatory. San Diego State is one of only a handful of universities worldwide with its own mountaintop astronomical observatory, where students in the astronomy department can learn stargazing skills. The new telescope will be housed in the observatory's original dome built in 1968. Alan Shafter, chair of the SDSU astronomy department, calls Mount Laguna's observatory the best astronomical site in the continental U.S., At 6,100 feet above sea level in elevation, it is also far from city lights. There's another cool thing about the new telescope. It can be operated remotely, so astronomy professors and their students won't have to travel to Mount Laguna to make observations, making it easier to amass large amounts of data that might otherwise be missed. Robert Quimby, the observatory's new director, helped discover several of the brightest supernova ever observed and continues researching why these are 100 times brighter than average, SDSU's News Center reports. Quimby says, "To do quality research, you have to look deeper and farther than the other guys. You just have to be there at the right place and at the right time." Reporting for East County Magazine, this is Leon Thompson.
The County of San Diego is asking your help for its annual Public Guardian Holiday Gift Drive. The Public Guardian serves as the legally appointed guardian or conservator of people who are found by the courts to be unable to take care of themselves. These are mostly older, frail, and vulnerable adults who are at risk or have been a victim of abuse or neglect. Public Administrator Ellen Schmetting says, "Through this project, we hope to enrich the lives of Public Guardian clients who would not otherwise receive a gift this holiday season. Most of these clients are without family or others to spend time with during the holidays. Items needed include sweaters, hooded sweatshirts, beanies, large print books, slippers with nonstick rubber soles, pajamas, clock radios, watches, new toiletries such as makeup, lotion, and aftershave, and support pillows. You can donate your unwrapped gift in new condition no later than December 6th. You can also donate gift cards to stores for staff to purchase items that these senior citizens may need. Please note that the Public Guardian's Office cannot accept cash donations or gifts from businesses that are contracted with the county. You can drop your donations off at the Public Guardian Office at 5560 Overland Avenue, Suite 130 in San Diego. And if you have questions, you can call 858-694-3500. This is an East County Magazine Consumer Safety Alert. General Motors has ordered a recall of over 300,000 vehicles because of headlights that stopped working. The low beams could turn off intermittently or permanently, increasing the risk of an accident. The recalled models were made in 2006 through 2009 and include the Buick LaCrosse sedan, the Chevrolet Trailblazer, the GMC Envoy, Buick Rainier, Saab 9-7X, and Isuzu Ascender SUVs. Dealers will replace the defective headlights, free for vehicle owners. If your low beams do fail, be aware that this defect does not affect high beams. General Motors has had many defects in its cars, trucks, and SUVs recently. So far this year alone, the automaker has had 79 different recalls affecting over 30 million vehicles.
This is Leon Thompson with East County Magazine with some tips on recycling holiday waste. The holiday season is full of celebrations, comfort food, and gifts. But along with the holiday spirit comes increased waste. Household waste increases by more than 25% between Thanksgiving and New Year's Day. Knowing how to reduce waste can save money and conserve natural resources and landfill space. This holiday season, challenge yourself and your family to make simple changes to reduce your waste. Here are some suggestions from I Love a Clean San Diego. Recycle more. The list of what goes in your recycling is always expanding. Recent additions include rigid plastics, including clamshell food packages, plastic toys, and food tubs. Aseptic cartons, including milk, juice, and soup cartons. And large blocks of polystyrene, styrofoam packaging. Cooking for large groups can result in large amounts of cooking oils. While most residents know that oils, fats, and grease can't go down the drains, indoor or outdoor, they're not sure what to do with them. Several drop-off recycling locations now accept cooking oil. Find your nearest collection spot at wastefreesandiego.org. Reuse and repair. Think twice before setting aside an unwanted or broken item in the donation pile. Making old t-shirts into new designs or reusable shopping bags or even a nostalgic quilt gives our once-loved t-shirts a new life. Turn old cards, magazines, and packaging into new gift wrap and decorations. Many appliances and clothing items can be repaired as well, from shoes to lawnmowers. Residents can visit repairsd.org to find a local repair business. Minimize disposable gift wrapping to reduce waste. And remember to always take a reusable shopping bag with you. Reusable bags can be used when shopping for gifts at retail stores. They aren't just for grocery stores. Another large component of the holiday waste is leftover food. Reduce food waste by cooking the right amounts, not overfilling plates, and keeping leftovers in easily visible locations in your refrigerator. Consider home composting. Composting options exist to suit apartment dwellers as well as those with outdoor space. Visit solanacenter.org to learn more about home composting. To find the closest drop-off location for cooking oil, styrofoam packaging, and other recyclables, or to get recycling questions answered, residents in the unincorporated county can visit the county's recycling and household hazardous waste database at wastefreesandiego.org or call 1-877-713-2784.
The Halo Community Foundation has been established just in time for a holiday gift or gift year-round to help people in need in our community, Visiting Angels has announced. The mission of the Halo Community Foundation is to provide quality in-home care to low-income individuals suffering from illnesses, disabilities, or other physical impairments. The Visiting Angels East County office can assist low-income individuals to receive critical in-home care for a better quality of life. The foundation provides care to qualified people based on needs and income level free of charge. In-home care is costly, and many individuals on fixed incomes can't afford the proper care, resulting in falls, accidents, decreased mobility, or even death. In addition, caring for a family member can be stressful and put a strain on family members not equipped with the training to properly care for their loved one. The Halo Community Foundation relies on private donations from individuals, businesses, and community organizations to provide this critical service. For more information, you can call 619-357-7626, see Visiting Angels at visitingangels.org. You can also get detailed information at www.eastcountymagazine.org. Just put Halo Foundation into the search term there. The East County Magazine Show on KNSJ Radio is produced by the nonprofit Heartland Coalition. We're your community news. We reflect your interest, not special interest. You can get involved by volunteering, get trained to be a citizen journalist, and support East County Magazine at www.eastcountymagazine.org. And you can send your news tips and story ideas to editor@eastcountymagazine.org.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
This is a public service announcement from East County Magazine. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts provide important information about much more than wildfires. In these winter months, you can receive free alerts via email or Twitter on your mobile phone about emergencies such as flash floods, road closures, heavy snow, and other severe weather alerts, as well as wildfires, traffic reports, and more. You can sign up for this free public service at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Indians.
Welcome to Destination East County with your host, Rebecca Williamson.
And Leon Thompson, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week. This week's Destination East County includes the Alpine Village Christmas Parade of Lights and Snow Festival, other Christmas holiday celebrations, a holiday pops concert, and the Lakeside Historical Society doing a holiday home tour.
Plus, we'll have previews of coming attractions, including a holiday concert in Lakeside and Christmas in the Village in La Mesa.
So stay tuned for all of these events and much, much more from East County Magazine.
Lemon Grove hosts its annual Light Up the Grove bonfire on December 5th in Civic Center Park from 5 until 9 p.m. You can also visit the Lemon Grove Historical Society's Christmas open house at the Parsonage and Lee's House, where you can meet Santa and peruse the elves' gift shop. The night also includes horse-drawn wagon rides, games, face painting, and crafts to provide spirited good cheer for people of all ages.
The 19th Annual Alpine Village Christmas Parade of Lights and Snow Festival will be held on December 5th from 6:30 to 10 p.m. The parade rolls out at 6:30 p.m. from the West Victoria and ends at the Alpine Creek Town Center at 1347 Tavern Road in Alpine, where a snow festival complete with real snow starts at 7 p.m. Festivities include a visit from Santa Claus, carnival rides, food, and vendors.
Hakumba Hot Springs closes out its centennial year on Saturday, December 6th, with a Feliz Navidad celebration. The event takes place at the Highland Center, 44681 Old Highway 80, from 2 until 5 p.m. Admission and parking are free. Feliz Navidad showcases the festive mariachi music of the world-renowned Mariachi Garibaldi performing ensemble from Southwestern College, the first college in the world to offer a degree in mariachi music. Visitors and town residents will join a luminaire procession to the community park for the lighting of the Christmas tree and to sing carols. Hakumba-grown tumbleweed trees, snowmen, and other snow creations will be on display throughout the community. Hakumba was once known for tumbleweed snowmen, and the tradition is being revived. Festivities also include a piñata for the children, craft vendors, baked goods for sale, and raffle items, including beautiful gift baskets, bicycles, and a Christmas quilt. Complimentary refreshments will be served. For more information, go to HakumbaHotSpringsCentennial.org.
Grossmont Symphony Orchestra and Master Chorale will offer a performance on Friday, December 5th at 7:30 p.m. centered around a holiday favorite, The Nutcracker and the Mouse King. This special holiday concert will be presented in a new concert venue, the 500-seat concert hall at Greenfield Middle School in El Cajon. Students from the Greenfield Middle School's concert band and music theater class will join Grossmont College performers in this program. Ensembles will perform secular and Christmas music, and there will also be a sing-along. For more information on the Grossmont Symphony Orchestra and Master Chorale, visit grossmontsymphony.org.
You're invited to an afternoon of Yuletide fun watching animals open their Christmas presents at Lions, Tigers, and Bears. The Animal Rescue Facility hosts its annual Christmas Festival fundraiser on Saturday, December 6th from 1 until 4 p.m. You can also do holiday shopping at more than 40 vendor booths, enjoy food from Descanso Junction, and visit Santa Claus. In addition, a new bear habitat will be unveiled during the December 6th event featuring rescued bears Albert, Cherry Bomb, Teddy, and Baloo. To buy tickets or to donate a Christmas tree to give to the animals for play on this special day, visit lionstigersandbears.org.
The Lakeside Chamber of Commerce will host the 16th Annual Spirit of Christmas on Saturday, December 6th, 4 to 9 p.m. on Main Avenue between Parkside and Laurel and Lakeside. This free, fun-filled family event will include a community tree lighting, visits with Santa, vendor booths, kids' activities, food, music, and entertainment by local bands and schools. The evening will kick off with the arrival of Santa and the lighting of the community Christmas tree at 5 p.m. by the Lakeside Fire Department. Then guests can saunter up and down Main Street to experience visits with Santa, vendor booths, crafting tables, delicious eateries, kids zone, and holiday music. Children are encouraged to bring letters to Santa. Drop them off in a special mailbox with delivery just to the North Pole. Remember to enclose a self-addressed stamped return envelope so Santa can send a letter back. The special North Pole mailbox will be on site at the Lakeside Historical Society on Main Avenue until September 24th. For more information, go to lakesidechamber.org.
The Lakeside Historical Society will be hosting its annual holiday home tour on Saturday, December 6th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. There are three decorated homes and one business on this tour and many antiques and collectibles to be enjoyed viewing. Tickets can be purchased from the History Center at 9906 Main Avenue at the corner of Parkside from 10 a.m. until 2, Tuesday through Saturday, or on the self-guided tour. Also, beginning in December 1st, the Historical Society has its Mrs. Claus Christmas resale shop open for shopping for annual holiday decorations. For more information, call the History Center at 561-1886.
Soroptimist International of Borrego Springs will also hold its holiday home tour on Saturday, December 6th from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. You can tour five lovely homes in the Borrego Valley, each uniquely adorned for the holidays. From ultra-modern to old-school, each home will reflect the distinct decorating style of the homeowner. All proceeds go to the Fund Educational Scholarships for Borrego Springs graduating seniors and youth organizations.
A free choral concert, Bright Morning, Silent Nights, will be presented by the Pacific Airs and Cedar Center Chorus on Saturday, December 6th at 2 p.m. in the College Avenue Baptist Church at 4747 College Avenue in San Diego. Concert features Christian and Jewish holiday favorites as well as secular music.
The San Diego Festival Chorus and Orchestra will present a joyful holiday music celebration on December 7th at 3 p.m. in the College Avenue Baptist Church, 4747 College Avenue, San Diego. The performance will include Vivaldi's Gloria and Robert Shaw's The Many Moods of Christmas. The East County-based San Diego Festival Chorus is in its 14th season. The 90-voice, 48-piece orchestra has performed Vivaldi's Gloria on European tours. The Many Moods of Christmas is a choral arrangement of traditional Christmas music by Robert Shaw, former conductor of the San Diego Symphony Orchestra. You can hear selections from the performers and purchase tickets at www.sandiegofestivalchorus.org.
Santa arrives at Santee Lakes on Sunday, December 7th in a celebration that runs from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. There is fun for the whole family, including snow, sledding, carnival rides, inflatable jumps, boat rides, arts and crafts, food, and s'mores. For details, visit santeelakes.com.
Now for a preview of coming attractions.
Winter Wonder Jam, Cuyamaca College's homegrown music fest, put on by students in the Music Industry Studies program, featuring four local bands and musicians playing pop, rock, and folk music, is set for December 12th from 7 to 10 p.m. in the Performing Arts Theater. The fifth annual Holiday Bash is an all-ages event with food, refreshments, and always eclectic performances. Admission is free with a donation of three canned goods for the San Diego Food Bank, or pay an admission fee. For more information, visit cuyamaca.edu and click on the Performing Arts link. Parking is free for this event at Cuyamaca College, located in Rancho San Diego.
The Lakeside Community Presbyterian Church will host a free concert on Friday, December 12th, that is open to the community. Vivaldi's Gloria will be presented by the church's Joyful Noise Choir and San Diego School of Creative and Performing Arts Choral Ensemble, Women's Chorus, and Chamber Orchestra. The church is located at 9908 Channel Road in Lakeside.
On December 12th and 13th, La Mesa's downtown village transforms into a Victorian-style winter wonderland for Christmas in the village. The festivities run from 5 to 10 p.m. each night with a holiday parade at 5 p.m., plus a pre-parade honoring 50th anniversary Vietnam War veterans. Christmas in the village features strolling minstrels, carolers, and street entertainers, live music on multiple stages, and bonfires filling La Mesa Boulevard. Plus, kids can visit free with Santa at the Goodwill Plaza at 802050 La Mesa Boulevard after the parade and also enjoy carnival rides, ponies, and puppet shows. Shops and restaurants will be open late. Plus, there will be food and vendors at the event organized by the La Mesa Village Merchants Association. Stores are decorated and illuminated for the occasion. Parking is free during the entire holiday season. Christmas in the Village also supports the Salvation Army Toy Drive and the Ray and Joan Crock Center Angel Tree Toy Program. Visitors can bring an unwrapped toy gift card or free donation to help local families in need. You can take the trolley to this event since the station at the corner of Spring Street and La Mesa Boulevard stops in the heart of this event.
The annual Fire Truck Toy Parade rolls out on Saturday, December 13th from 9 a.m. to noon in the Target parking lot at 250 Broadway in El Cajon. Fire trucks from Heartland Fire and Rescue will be joined by fire trucks from across East County stations, all loaded with donated toys for the Salvation Army's East County Toy and Food Drive. If you want to help needy families this holiday season, you can bring a new unwrapped toy to the El Cajon Fire Department weekdays before the event, or go to Coco Radio booth at the Fire Truck Toy Parade on December 13th.
Warbirds West Air Museum invites you to bring a new unwrapped toy and attend a pancake breakfast and open house on Saturday, December 13th from 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. You can view World War II aircraft and displays, see over 40 antique and classic cars, and meet Santa Claus. Families are welcome to attend. The museum is located at 1725 North Marshall Avenue in El Cajon at Gillespie Field. For more information, visit wwam.org.
'Tis the season to be merry along the Holiday Wine Trail featuring wineries on the Ramona East End Loop. You can take the tour of December 13th or 14th from 12 to 5 p.m. The tour includes six wineries with a total of 18 wine tastings paired with six holiday treats. Check in at the Ramona Family Naturals on December 13th or 14th between 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. to receive your Holiday Wine Trail passport in glass for tasting at 642 Main Street in Ramona. Visit Ramona Ranch Winery's Facebook page for details.
The Seroptimus International of Lemon Grove will hold a holiday craft fair on Saturday, December 13th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. to benefit local charities. The event will take place at the Lemon Grove Academy Auditorium on School Lane in Lemon Grove. Admission is free to the craft fair, which will feature original homemade gifts such as purses, jewelry, scarves, and quilts. Proceeds will benefit the Seroptimus International Lemon Grove Holiday Giving and Lemon Grove Food Bank, as well as programs to improve the lives of women and girls.
The annual Mount Helix Park Sing-Along Caroling event will be held Sunday, December 14th from 6:30 to 8 p.m. in the amphitheater atop Mount Helix. Gina Seashore and her talented groups will be leading the caroling at this free and festive event for the whole holiday. Santa will be on hand to visit, but bring your own camera for photos. Free hot coffee and cocoa will be available, along with the baked goods provided by Sprites. Parking and shuttles will be available at the San Miguel Fire Station. The first shuttle will run up the hill at 6:15 p.m., and shuttles will run continuously thereafter. Be sure to dress warmly and bring a flashlight.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all these events and more on our calendar and in our festivals and events section online at eastcountymagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, you can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, your network for social justice.
Do you know someone who has selflessly worked to better the El Cajon community? Nominations are now being accepted for El Cajon Citizen of the Year through December 19th. Nominees don't have to live in El Cajon, but their efforts must benefit the City of El Cajon to qualify. Anyone who has served the City of El Cajon and its citizens can be nominated. That includes volunteer activities in the best interest of the El Cajon community. People currently seeking public office are not eligible. The nominations deadline is December 19th at 4 p.m., Nominations should be turned in to the East County Chamber of Commerce office at 201 South Magnolia Avenue in El Cajon. Emailed nominations will not be accepted. The selection committee will meet on January 5th to vote for the El Cajon Citizen of the Year, who will be honored at a luncheon on February the 3rd. For more information or an application, please contact Drum McComber at 619-442-5313. This has been Leon Thompson reporting for East County Magazine.
The County of San Diego is asking your help for its annual Public Guardian Holiday Gift Drive. The Public Guardian serves as the legally appointed guardian or conservator of people who are found by the courts to be unable to take care of themselves. These are mostly older, frail, and vulnerable adults who are at risk or have been a victim of abuse or neglect. Public Administrator Ellen Schmetting says, through this project, we hope to enrich the lives of Public Guardian clients who would not otherwise receive a gift this holiday season. Most of these clients are without family or others to spend time with during the holidays. Items needed include sweaters, hooded sweatshirts, beanies, large print books, slippers with nonstick rubber soles, pajamas, clock radios, watches, new toiletries such as makeup, lotion, and aftershave, and support pillows. You can donate your unwrapped gift in new condition no later than December 6th. You can also donate gift cards to stores for staff to purchase items that these senior citizens may need. Please note that the Public Guardian's office cannot accept cash donations or gifts from businesses that are contracted with the county. You can drop your donations off at the Public Guardian office at 5560 Overland Avenue, Suite 130 in San Diego. And if you have questions, you can call 858-694-3500.
This is Helen Ofield from the Lemon Grove Historical Society, bringing you the sounds of history. It's the holiday season in warm, sunny East County. As we count our blessings, we can't help but think of those who also walked beneath that same benevolent sun years ago in somewhat less happy circumstances. One such person was Dr. Eben McGregor, one of very few doctors in East County in the 1930s, and the only game in town in Lemon Grove. Here are his words, written on Christmas Day, 1956, nearly 60 years ago. I awakened this morning thinking of my early days in Lemon Grove and of the dusty but very pretty little town as I first saw it. O little town of Lemon Grove, thousands of lemon trees, nearly everyone had a horse. Lots of people had asthma and had come here for the good climate. I thought of S.D. Eckler on Central Avenue, who came here with $30,000 and sunk it into land that was ruined by the Mattoon Act in the 1930s. Eckler started a huge rabbit ranch. Poor man took credit in the 30s so people could have rabbit stew. I recalled Dr. Charles Good, the dentist, with a big citrus ranch and a nice house, also on Central Avenue. He fixed your teeth for a dollar in the 1930s. And good old Ed Fells, of the Fells Naphtha soap fortune. Not that he had any of that money. He taught me lobster fishing, completely illegal, and the ocean was cold in winter. I thought of that awful segregation case the school board started when they built the Mexican school, and then the Mexicans went on strike at the packing house. How the school board thereafter began to eliminate the Mexicans from the payroll. People like Andy Anderson, good people, Art Ahrens, Reverend Kurtz, and Herman Przybylski were part of that mess. Herman Przybylski had come here from Poland. He had a big citrus ranch and horses. He thought I was a communist because I had run for office on the Democratic ticket. I didn't know the meaning of the word communist in those days. But Herman had me investigated, and I will never forget when he came over and told me I was okay. We lived across the street from each other, for Pete's sake. I was his doctor. And no communist either. That reminded me of Herman's boy Frank, who had terrible asthma and was good friends with the adopted son of Colonel and Mrs. Bryan, who lived in the big show place where Ambassador Hayes, later President Hayes, had visited. The adopted son was always tippling in the parlor and helping himself to the brandy during tea parties. But most of all, I remember Tony Sonka, he who ran the famous general store next door to my home and medical office on Main Street. I remember saying to Tony, "Do you remember that truck that came through Lemon Grove on Christmas with flour and potatoes and somebody's old clothes and other stuff? It was all for the needy. You loaned us a little house to store the clothes. The Depression had struck so hard. I had several thousand patients who had no money. One month I worked from dawn to dusk 7 days a week, and I took in $86 in cash. Tony, you fed them, and I tried to keep them alive." Dear listeners, those were the words of Dr. Eben McGregor, who went on to lead the Veterans Administration for President Franklin Roosevelt in World War II. Dr. McGregor's house was designed by the great Alberto Traganza, also a Lemon Grove resident. That was in 1932, but it took 4 years to build because the doctor had no money, because his patients had no money. Patients with construction skills worked off their bills in sweat equity on the good doctor's house. It still stands today on Main Street, an important historic site. For the Sounds of History, I'm Helen Ofield.
The holiday shopping season is here, and the county wants to remind consumers to double-check receipts and make sure that you're not getting overcharged by faulty cash register price scanners. Overcharging does happen. Every year, the County Department of Agriculture Weights and Measures inspects thousands of businesses to make sure that devices which scan or weigh products people are buying are charging consumers accurately. Last year, one out of every five stores inspected, 20%, had overcharges, and those overcharges averaged nearly $3 an error. May not sound like much, but just multiply that by lots of holiday purchases, and catching errors could add up to substantial savings. The county has some handy hints for shoppers. Always verify receipts and immediately notify store management of any price discrepancies. Take sales advertisements with you when shopping to verify prices. And know that stores cannot legally charge more than their lowest advertised, posted, or quoted price. Plan ahead and start watching for store sale flyers and sales. Make a list of what you need. Comparison shop with several different sources for best value. Buy what you need over several weeks or even months to take full advantage of future sales and bargains. And if you are overcharged, tell the store and ask them to refund the difference. If you can't resolve an overcharge with a store, you can report it to the county's Agriculture Weights and Measures Department by calling 1-888-TRUE-SCAN. That's 1-888-TRUE-SCAN. This is a public service announcement from East County Magazine. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts provide important information about much more than wildfires. In these winter months, you can receive free alerts via email or Twitter on your mobile phone about emergencies such as flash floods, road closures, heavy snow, and other severe weather alerts, as well as wildfires, traffic reports, and more. You can sign up for this free public service at www.eastcountymagazine.org. The Viejas Wildfire and Emergency Alerts are produced by East County Magazine with support from the Viejas Band of the Kumeyaay Indians. This concludes today's episode of East County Magazine's radio show. We extend our appreciation to the East County Wellness Center for our studio space, to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County and Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technicians, Leon Thompson and Ed Barena, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Donnie Gentile, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jules, Brian Boykel, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, and Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road. We also thank the County of San Diego for a community enhancement grant to support our Destination East County segment. If you have story ideas or would like to underwrite the East County Magazine radio show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617. We'll be back soon for another edition of East County Magazine's radio show.